Welcome to Add to Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I'm your host, James Hartwell, and I'm joined by
Andy Kay, and I'm joined by
Derek Costihaw.
Good evening, you two.
Hey, good evening. How are you guys?
You know, I'm doing well.
Yeah, doing pretty good, actually. But you know, that's what a good thing, because today's episode is going to be about nothing but bad things.
No. Okay, well, let's turn this into, what was that YouTube show that Jim from The Office made? Do you remember that?
No.
So, like, at the beginning of the pandemic, Office Jim made a YouTube show that was like just about happy things. And I don't know. I don't know if he released it every day. I don't know, but it became a big thing. And then he sold it to like some news corporation or something. And I remember there was a lot of pushback because it was like, wasn't this just about joy? Like, why did this have to be sold? And it wasn't a big production. It was like him trying to be quirky at his desk and like drawing things with crayons. But no, he sold it, and then we never saw anything about it again. So don't sell out, everyone.
Andy, it's in its essence, it is still about joy. I'd be joyful if I got a big payout.
I mean, fair. Like, oh gosh, do you guys remember the Animal Crossing talk show?
Oh, Gary Whitta did?
Was he the Star Wars guy?
Yes.
Yes, that one. Like, that was joyful, and he didn't sell out. But as with that, and I'm sure the Office Jim show is going to run its course. Like, we're all going to be over in a couple months. So I guess, can we blame him for selling? Maybe not.
You got to sell high.
Maybe not. Yeah. I think I saw the lottery was over 800 million.
It is.
But they took out the lottery ticket machine at my grocery store.
Oh, no.
I don't want to go to the desk to get a ticket.
And this would have been the one you win, Andy.
Shut up. Yeah. Like, do you guys have machines or do you have to go to the desk?
We have machines, but I usually go to the – when I check out at 7-Eleven, I grab one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I guess if you're already there.
Yeah, and I've got machines in my –
Do you have to scan your ID when you get it at the machine?
No.
Oh, you have to scan your ID in Massachusetts.
Huh. I guess, what's the age that you can buy a ticket at?
It's either 18 or 21. Probably 18.
Okay. Because I was talking at work with some people that they raised the age on cigarettes to 21. And I didn't know that because I thought that's what you do. And also, like, I guess, and it wouldn't surprise me, you can't buy magazines anymore, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. I actually have that issue in excess. Now I need to give Pornhub my ID.
That's true. That's true.
Derek lives in Liberal Paradise, Texas.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't been impacted yet, but someone else in our group seems deeply troubled.
I can't imagine. And then you have to play the VPN game, and I'm too old for that.
Or you just use hundreds of other sites.
That's fair. Yeah. There's a lot of other.
Hundreds.
Plenty of others.
Yeah, that's right. Hundreds, as if that was the only amount.
So I guess I'm not too familiar with it, but so Pornhub is saying, no, screw you. Fair.
Okay, so it boils down to, it's illegal to give pornography to children underage, right? Mm-hmm. Reasonable law.
Reasonable.
Now, most sites just have a pop-up that says, mm-hmm. Are you over 18?
Sure.
And
don't lie.
I'm assuming Pornhub had that too. But Texas is like, we card for alcohol, we card for cigarettes, we don't card for the lottery for some reason, but we need you to card for porn now. And yeah, I can't remember if Pornhub itself was susceptible to it, but there's been a lot of leaks of private information from these unsavory business dealings online.
Although I think Pornhub as a technology stack is actually pretty good, but that doesn't betray your point, Derek, which is like, yeah, I don't want to volunteer that kind of information to a third party site unless I absolutely have to.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I know some information that makes me not believe. I don't have as much trust in them as you.
Maybe it's only from a networking and a video on demand service that they're well respected.
No, I know what hardware they have in the back end.
Oh, I see.
So
what are they running on? Just out of some dude's basement?
They have a Mac Mini somewhere.
I knew someone that had the largest porn server in Wisconsin in like the 90s or something. Not Wisconsin, it was even more. But he would talk about, you know, the amount of traffic that moves through that in the early days, right? But he was able to run it out of his house. So Pornhub is run out of a house.
No, that's not what I'm saying.
But wait, so but with all the other varieties out there, do they all have to card, or are they getting away with it?
I think technically they do, but I mean, the first step was to like sue the biggest site that didn't comply.
Sure.
I guess. I don't know. Like, yeah, if you're going to implement this, you have to be a part of the solution and not just force a porn site to have copies of your legal ID.
Mm-hmm.
Like, mm-hmm. Have like a virtual. Oh, no. Oh, God. That's even worse. I don't want a virtual Texas ID. Just stop, Texas. Just stop.
You don't want a freedom ID, Derek?
No.
Have the freedom to have a secondary ID?
Like, you want the freedom to not be on the power grid. But why do you want to give your ID? I don't get it. I don't get it.
I don't control, get it. Andy.
Andy, you're trying to use logic and reason from your point of view. Think about the lawmakers filling their pockets off of all of these decisions.
Who's funding this? Like, can't big porn, like, don't they have lobbyists?
So, Andy, two things drive lawmakers: money and election years. And what year is it?
You'd think though that porn would turn the party against them. Wouldn't it? Well, certainly women's reproductive health.
I mean, we'll find out.
I guess, yeah. What could be, I mean, you know, everybody says porn is the leader when it comes to a lot of places in society. Why shouldn't it be law too? Texas is going blue. Oh, this is going to backfire. Oh, no.
But Andy, I love your point of view. Like, porn is why we had VHS instead of Betamax. Porn is why we had Blu-ray instead of HD DVD.
Yep.
Okay. What will porn force us down next? Okay.
Going blue. Not even blue. We're lefties over in Texas now. Let's go. Aww.
Although I would keep my gun, I'm all.
How many electoral votes does Texas have?
Too many.
let's see how many electoral votes porn gave us. 150?
Yeah, it's a lot. Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Is electoral by amount of people? Right, because that's the amount of representatives you get.
I think it's by congressional districts, I think. So every so many districts have so many representatives, and that translates also to so many delegates.
Well,
but they don't add districts or delegates anymore, so they're just stuck from the last time they expanded them.
Okay. I wonder if I'm reading this correctly. I might be reading it wrong, but it looks like they do have a lot. Porn turned the tide. Sorry, Trump. If you're not already in jail, you can afford that $400 million bail. See, good stuff. Trump might be in jail and porn turned the tide. Maybe we are going to be okay.
Maybe everything will be okay.
You want to hear something beautiful?
Sure, Andy.
Let me tell you guys about this. So a couple or like 2 weeks ago or whatever, when I had COVID, and you know, you go through like that fever phase, right? Well, of ever being sick, right? But I was in the fever phase of my COVID. And so naturally you're freezing and you're looking for every blanket, any layer to put on you so that you can try to break the curse. It doesn't work, but trying helps. And I took a blanket out that I had in my closet that I very rarely use. It was a blanket that was gifted to me a long time ago by a friend, blah, 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 blah. And I always thought like I always called it a blanket or a quilt, but I always figured it was just something that they got cheap from somewhere. And I was talking with someone who quilts. And I was talking and I showed them my blanket because I've fallen in love with it. It's so comfortable. And they told me it's a handmade quilt. I have a quilt that someone, like, I guess the determining factors of a quilt, and maybe everybody knew this except me, but with a quilt, it's different pieces of fabric, like, stitched together, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, like, it'll be in all different directions, but all of the stitching follows the lines of the fabric. And it's not something printed. It's all in separate parts. And then, like, the back is, like, a single sheet that will have, like, more pattern sewing through it. And mine matches the criteria. I have a handmade quilt. Someone handmade my quilt. I have some beautiful artifact of love and time. But I don't know who did it. But I'm obsessed with it now. I have it around me right now. Who made my quilt? What is the story of my quilt? I don't know.
Where did you get it from?
What's that?
Where did you get it from?
I got it from a friend, and they were the kind of person that had a lot of cats. So, and every time I go over, though, they always put a blanket on one of their chairs so I could sit down and not, like, react and lose my mind, because I'm very, very allergic to cats. And this was always the blanket that they put down. It was always this one because it was the old one. They always kept clean and didn't have cat hair on it. And then when they moved away, they thought of me and gave me this quilt. But like their mother didn't quilt. I didn't know anyone in their family that quilted. I don't know where this came from. I don't know the story of it. But I literally almost donated it to Goodwill. I know. I almost gave away this beautiful story. But I don't know the story of the quilt. And I don't want to reach out to the friend because while we were close however many years ago, the only contact I've had with them was like 5 years ago. They messaged me and it turns out they're like a recruiter. And they were just like, hey, so are you interested in any job opportunities? And I was like, doesn't our friendship mean anything? Did nothing mean anything, but you know,
always be hustling, Andy.
Exactly.
When I gave you that quilt, maybe now you give me some business.
10 years later, more than that. So you know that friendship's gone, which is fine. You grow up and grow apart. But I don't know. I have a beautiful handmade quilt, and this is a recent revelation, and I'm losing my mind that I have this thing that took time. It took time. And I don't what when they were spending their time and investing their energy and their presence and their spirit into this quilt, what was their intention? Where did they mean for it to go? Am I not living up to the legacy of the quilt?
Let me stop you right there. Let me stop you right there. You're not. Well, that's okay.
It is. It is. Well, I don't know I want to ask you guys, do you guys have quilts? Do you have blankets that you don't know are quilts yet?
No, I don't have quilts. I have animals.
Well, you should have a quilt that you can put on a chair that I can sit on. Selfish. What a monster. And Derek, you don't have any quilts either?
I do not. It's not typically quilt season often here.
Oh, I guess. Yeah, that's fair. Do you have throw blankets?
I do.
Okay. Hey, I have throw blankets.
Okay.
And they all have holes in them.
Yeah.
From
animals.
From your pets.
So yeah. I have throws so that they make my couch look less empty.
Okay.
Like, it's just there for style.
Ooh, and stylish.
Okay. And my board game nights, one of the girls is always cold. Mm-hmm. And she says, I keep my apartment.
Women. For you.
Women. Well, what do you keep your apartment at, Derek?
I like to go down to 68 if it's not too warm. It'll go up depending on how hot it is outside because electricity bills are hot.
That's a gentleman's temperature, Derek. I appreciate it.
And yeah, then, but you might need a throw at 68.
I'll put on socks if I feel cold, okay?
I don't Andy, 60, it's kind of cool. I'm too scared to put mine below 72.
Andy, my house, well, in the summer, I set it for 68. And, you know, it ends up being what it ends up being. Mm-hmm. But, like, in the winter, this house is, I don't know, anywhere between, like, 63 and 66 on average.
No.
Well, I'm not going to blame you because I'm sure heat is very expensive.
I don't pay for heat.
Really?
And I control the thermostat.
Yeah.
What? Your landlords better give you a discount.
Well, I haven't raised my rent in 4 years, so.
Okay, let's go.
Andy, mine is in a similar situation. I wouldn't even touch the heat if it wasn't for the risk of frozen pipes.
Oh, sure.
So it's like, okay, landlord, I get you don't want burst pipes, so I'll keep my closet door open and put it up to 60.
I've always been on the side that being cold is better than being hot. Yeah. I would rather be cold than be hot.
And you can be cold and you can just get a blanket, right?
Exactly. A quilt.
A quilt. And then you got comfy vibes. I'm obsessed with this quilt. It's so much more comfortable than any throw I have. You guys need quilts. You're doing it wrong. Oh, but you need a handmade quilt.
Yeah. I don't frequent enough flea markets, unfortunately. So,
I mean, a real handmade quilt is going to be extremely expensive.
Or someone in your life, you know. Well, I took this from someone that made it with love. Or can you not make a quilt with love?
Wait. Do you mean that the other way? Can you not make a quilt except with love?
Thank you. Yes. Can you make a quilt without love? Or not make a quilt without, I don't know. You said it correctly, but like you can't make a, has capitalism got to quilts?
Yes.
As big quilts.
I'm currently browsing quilts on Etsy. Okay.
I was about to say Etsy, yeah.
No. There's quilts on Etsy?
Of course there's quilts on Etsy.
They got to be fake quilts, though.
Well, they're definitely not made with love.
Are they dropship quilts?
I'm sure there's someone hand-making quilts on Etsy, but...
How much is a quilt on Etsy? Let's take a look.
I'm going to say $120 conservatively.
This one says
for handmade
$16. Yeah. Even $120, I feel like it should be $300 or $400.
Yeah, $450 is a good price for one.
Okay. I'm looking at ones that are a lot cheaper, though. Why do all these say $16? There's no way they can be this cheap.
Well, because they're probably made out of like the thinnest polyester humanly possible. Maybe.
I don't understand. But yeah, like this is a lot of someone's time. They should be rewarded for their time. Was mine a $16 quilt? No. This is
it sounds heavy, so I don't think so.
It's not the most heavy. To be fair, I usually give it like if I have guests or something, it's the blanket I bring out for them in case they need one. But like the pattern on it gives me like early 2000s.
Interesting.
Like very early 2000s or late 90s. And in the late 90s, capitalism did not get to quilts in the 90s. I don't think the technology existed to do it efficiently and exploitatively. I don't see it. But I don't know the story of my quilt, and it's been kind of bumming me out, but I still think it's really beautiful. So I've been wearing my quilt all the time.
Andy, don't get so hung up on its past. Think about the future of its story, okay? You're going to die one day, and it'll go into a dump.
Speaking of dying one day.
No, don't make that the transition.
Pull the quilt up tight, Andy. Wrap yourself up the warmth because we're going to face the cold, hard reality of the end of life for most of this podcast.
This is not going in the dump, by the way. This is in my will. Jesus Christ. Please, James, take us away.
Well, first in our episode of death, RIP Akira Toriyama. Akira Toriyama passed away last week suddenly and surprisingly. He died on March, I believe he died on March 1st.
March 8th is when the news came out of it.
Yeah, but he had died several days prior.
That's right.
He died on March 1st. Yeah. And then they let us know on March 8th.
And I think it was of head trauma, right?
He had a sub what is it? Subdural hematoma, which is basically a brain bleed.
Man, I think that's what Danny Tanner died of, right?
I don't know who Danny Tanner is.
Who's the guy? You know, it was the Full House guy, and then he told a dirty
joke.
Oh, popular.
You mean Bob Saget?
Yeah.
Bob Saget, yes.
And I don't know if that's what he, I thought. I don't know.
I just know he like hit his head and then like died. Be careful when you hit your head, you guys.
Akira Toriyama, and I'm doing a disservice to say if you don't know who Akira Toriyama is, but if you don't, famed creator of Dragon Ball, Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball Super, character Dragon? Design.
Well, not the creator.
Character designer, art designer for Dragon Quest and Chrono Trigger. There it is. Mm-hmm. Almost got it. And the upcoming game Sandland, which comes out April 25th, I think.
That's true. And Blue Dragon.
Yeah. And so, Blue Dragon. That's right.
So you're telling me Akira Toriyama is somewhat in part responsible for all the hiatuses of Hunter x Hunter?
Wait, what?
I mean, that is fair. Yeah.
Every Dragon Quest release, it led to a hiatus of like weeks.
Really? For Hunter x Hunter?
Yeah.
That's great. Oh, Akira Toriyama. He was supposed to be, you know.
He was kind of the elder statesman of manga. I think Go Nagai is actually a couple years older than he is.
I'm a casual. Who's that?
Devil Man.
Oh, okay.
And then I was looking this up. I was like trying to say who are the oldest, like very popular mangakas left. And I think it's Go Nagai now. And then Araki, who does JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Is he an old man now?
He's in his 60s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Akira Toriyama was 68. I think Go Nagai is 69.
Oh, my God. He was only 68?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But I think like it goes without saying, like, I can't think of perhaps a more influential artist for like gaming and pop culture.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think one person who like is up there with it is Osamu Tezuka.
Astro Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Dragon Ball, like I agree with you, but Dragon Ball is just, man, it's, I mean, what can you say?
It's a global, are you guys aware of like how big it is in Latin America?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So cartel violence goes down considerably for the next 2 days after a new episode gets aired.
Wait, what?
Anecdotally, yes. But by all measurements, cartel violence in Latin America goes down when there's a new episode of Dragon Ball.
Even Super?
Yeah. Oh, in Super, they had showings in town squares of the episodes when they came out.
Yeah. The Japanese Embassy of Mexico asked for them to stop doing these viewing parties as it was not following their licensing agreement or some such.
And Mexico like, went, stop. LOL.
Yeah.
Like they sent a letter to a mayor who was hosting his own party. Yeah. Huge in Mexico.
Yeah. It's just crazy. Something else. And you just hear a lot of like little stories. Obviously like the manga community has like come out and talked a lot about it. Oda, creator of One Piece, and Kishimoto, creator of Naruto, both saw Akira Toriyama as kind of like their senior and just being like, in particular, I imagine Oda is probably more devastated than most because he probably wanted Toriyama to see the end of One Piece.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's devastating. It's like, I just never would have thought it happened, but what can you do? I mean, but like with his death, though, I saw it across all media. And by all media, I mean NPR. So,
hey, I mean, the fact that he got to NPR, which is a pretty normie, like, news source.
Very normie. But so yeah, the fact that he got to there, he was a goat, right?
Yeah,
like truly.
It's also funny, just a lot of like little stories that have been coming out about Toriyama. Obviously, so like turning Super Saiyan in Dragon Ball Z is probably one of the, like, if you had to list like top five pop culture scenes, like that's in there.
Yeah.
The one of the other ones being the Akira slide on the motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
But Toriyama said the reason he did that was because it took his colorist so long to color in Goku's hair because it was black. So he changed it to blonde to make their lives easier.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
So that's the reason Goku's hair is blonde, because he's like, I want to make it easier on them.
No way. Aw. Oh, man. And Dragon Ball was in the 80s, right? When it started. Was Super Saiyan in Dragon Ball?
No.
Dragon Ball Z.
Well, actually launch the first Super Saiyan. There, I said it.
Who was the first Super Saiyan?
That was from... Yeah, Dragon Launch Ball. Was in Dragon Ball, and she had an alternate personality, and her hair would turn blonde.
For Super Saiyan.
Derek, what was the name of the manga before Dragon Ball? Was it Ariel?
Dr. Slump.
Dr. Slump, thank you. But Ariel was like the main character, wasn't she?
Yeah she was. Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. What is Dr. Slump?
It was a pretty long run series in itself. It's not nearly as popular as Dragon Ball, but it was Toriyama's first series.
It's her first popular series. Life, like a little wacky. It had a lot of similar cultural like peculiarities that the Dragon Ball world has, but I had to drop it because it just didn't hold my attention, but nothing wrong with it.
I would say that's actually probably pretty inspired from Astro Boy, because Ariel is a little robot girl.
Oh, okay.
I would imagine the DNA flows through there. Yeah, but I mean, sad news.
Sad.
Hit me harder than I expected it to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where you just kind of expected him to be alive forever.
Yes, exactly. 100% agree. Like a Miyazaki. Miyazaki keeps going.
Miyazaki's too mad to die.
Yeah. He smokes like a chimney. Like, dude is just angry all the time. But he's infinite. You would have expected it from...
What is it? Who's... Derek, who's the mangaka who does all the horror manga?
Oh, Junji Ito.
Yeah, my favorite comparison is between Miyazaki and Junji Ito, where like Miyazaki is this miserable old man who makes these beautiful things, and Junji Ito is like the nicest guy in the world, and he makes the most horrifying manga that he possibly could.
Oh, I didn't know he was a sweetheart.
Oh yeah, Junji Ito is like the nicest guy.
Aww. His stuff is too scary for me to read. I don't know if scary is the right word. It's just
it is scary. It is scary and it is disturbing.
I feel unsettling is like, it's a visceral horror. It's a horror for the lizard brain.
Well, it's like body horror, right?
Yeah.
I don't like body horror.
It's got a Hieronymus Bosch kind of.
I've never heard that word before.
He's a famous painter. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. No, in all of his interviews, stand-up guy.
Yeah. He talks about going for like walks in fields of flowers and stuff like that.
So and then he'll put on like cat ear headbands and pose with fans.
That's adorable.
And then Miyazaki's like, I'll kill you.
Yeah. Brother is so... He's so...
Angry. My son is a disappointment to me. Miyazaki hates his son.
Yet the dude is making movies too. Who knows? But Toriyama, too soon. Genuinely too soon.
Well, let's keep it rolling, because that wasn't the other notable demise.
Oh, God, no.
Rooster Teeth has been shut down by Warner Brothers Discovery.
Yeah.
Rooster
Teeth. I didn't even know they were bought. I always thought
they got bought, I want to say like 5 or 6 years ago.
It's been that many.
Yeah. Rooster Teeth, if you, again, I feel like I'm doing a disservice to say if you don't know them, but I would say their popularity has waned in the post-COVID era, but they were instrumental to the early internet. Red versus Blue, probably one of the, I think the most popular machinima, where it's basically using a game engine to create, third-party content.
Yeah, I can't think of another one.
And then also the Let's Play channel and Achievement Hunter, which, I mean, up there with, say, your Markiplier and PewDiePie's in terms of just like the Let's Play popularity.
They used to have their own convention.
They did. RTX.
RTX. I knew someone who would go to Texas every year. I think it was in Texas, right?
It was in Texas. It was awesome. Yeah,
you go to Texas every year for RTX, and I never knew what it was. Like, what do you do at a Rooster Teeth convention? Is it truly just to celebrate the property, or is it like a PAX where it doesn't really have anything to do with Penny?
It's more to celebrate the property.
Sure.
Yeah. They also had a wide range of podcasts. They also created the anime-like sensation Ruby.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else they did. They did a lot of stuff. They made a few live action movies.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was called Laser Team.
Okay.
They're funny. I like them.
How much? Like, yeah. I don't know. It's just a bummer.
Yeah, and it will result in the layoff of approximately 150 full-time employees and dozens of contractors.
I didn't know they were that big of a company.
Yeah, they at one point, I don't know if it's still true, they had 2 airplane hangars in Austin that were essentially their studio.
Wow. Oh, man. Like, well, have they been doing anything recent? Wait, were you into that, Rooster Teeth? Or were you into... You were?
Yeah, I was a big Rooster Teeth fan back in the day. This also, Funhouse 2, which is their LA Let's Play group as well, will be shuttered because of this as well. The podcast, which is the Roost Network, is still potentially going to exist. They're looking at selling that off, so the podcast may still live on. But all the video content, Let's Play content, animation content is...
Even Ruby. Wow. Again, a bummer. Thanks, James.
Oh, yeah. No, you're welcome. I mean, it's just one of those things. Rooster Teeth is probably one of those formation parts of the internet, depending on where you were. I wouldn't say it's necessarily as formative as, say, in Akira Toriyama and other media.
No.
But Rooster Teeth definitely was like, they were a big part of the early internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think knew about Red versus Blue when I went to school.
Yeah.
I even watched it. I watched it on DVD.
Know how. I bought that DVD.
Okay, then that's probably the one I watched. Someone lent it to me. And it was funny. I can't remember any of the memes from it, though. So I guess it didn't stay with me. But I remember thinking it was funny.
They are also consistently one of the bigger donors to the Extra Life charity event, too. Pretty consistently raised $1 million, I want to say.
Jeez.
To the point that they have like at like the Austin Children's Hospital, there's like a Rooster Teeth healing garden. Yeah.
Oh, that's great. And now they're gone. Warner Brothers has been cutting everything.
Yeah.
They're the ones playing the we cancel it and write it off as a loss.
They also, Warner Brothers also recently is delisting all the Adult Swim games from stores as well.
What?
I didn't even know there was Adult
Swim
games.
Derek is shocked by this news.
Wait, Derek, Adult Swim game are you into?
Honestly, the only one I can think of is Unicorn Rainbow Stampede. But still, just like, the game's already released. Why are you going to stop making money off them?
I guess they can they can take future profit as an as a current loss. They say, oh, we're going to delist them, and then we're going to assess that we would have sold this many, and we're going to take that as a current write-off.
Okay.
That's probably what they're doing.
It's insane. They're playing the tax game so hard. They're chasing so much like immediate profit. I don't know what's happening with them, but I also don't know enough about the industry, but it just seems like this is a bad idea.
Yeah. Rooster Teeth just celebrated its, this was, it was a 20th birthday last year.
Oh,
so it was 21 years old. Aww, it was founded in 2003.
They were a
yeah. Pillar. So here you go, Andy. Here's it. In 2014, Rooster Teeth was bought by Fullscreen, which in turn was bought by Otter Media, which is a joint venture of AT&T and the Chernin Group, before Rooster Teeth became a part of Warner Media under AT&T's ownership. In 2022, Discovery closed the acquisition of Warner Media to form Warner Brothers Discovery.
And that's when they went on their rampage.
Yeah.
You know, there was a pillar in my life. I think Destructoid might now be finally dead, which bums me out. But they sold out to a company. And then that company was bought by a company, which was bought by a company. And now they're just – they're nothing. They're nothing like they were. And that's terrible. I've been reading Destructoid for like over 10 years. It's such a huge part of my life. But it was making me think that like now it's like again, it's literally nothing anymore. But I'm wondering, was Rooster Teeth having to bend to the corporate formula? Like, were they put out of their misery, I should say?
I mean, you hear about it like Funhouse. There's been rumors like Funhouse was like they made more money than they spent. It's like they balanced their books. I don't know about the rest of Rooster Teeth as a whole. So it's tough to say how much Rooster Teeth was making versus not making.
Mm-hmm.
Something else, this article that I have from Variety, they talk about their first subscription service, which is, it was kind of like Patreon before Patreon.
Oh, really? Okay.
And it says at its peak, there was 225,000 paying members for first.
Wow.
I was one of them.
And this was before they were bought out?
Yeah. And it says they were down to only about 60,000 as of recently. So at their peak, they were 225,000. And recently, they were down to 60,000.
So maybe they weren't delivering. I mean, 60,000 is still a lot. I was reading about the success story of what's the College Humor service?
Dropout.
They're hugely successful.
Yes, Dropout is great. Dropout, basically Sam Reich bought College Humor and was like, I'm going to winnow this down to just the core things that we need to do it. If you're unfamiliar, Dropout, they used to be College Humor, but now they're really kind of focused on doing like improv game shows and D&D. And they're very funny. I pay for a Dropout subscription.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's not that expensive.
It's $5.
Yeah.
But when I was in Japan last year, when I was walking around from place to place, I was listening to Drop. I was catching up with Dropout a lot of the time. Yeah.
Oh, wow. There's one. I get served some videos on YouTube. The only few things that YouTube does well for me now in my life. There's one guy. I think his name is Josh. Is there a Josh on one of the shows? Anyways, dude is funny.
Yeah. Oh, I know who you're talking about. I think it's Josh Yama, I think is his name.
Maybe he's a big guy. Whoever the really big guy is. Or Jacob, maybe. I don't know. But he's my favorite. He's the best. God bless Dropout.
I mean, they've hit.
And they're Instagram. Independently owned, so nobody yes. can close them except their own incompetence.
Oh, and that's
don't
what
jinx it.
Don't jinx it. and that's what happened to Detoid. They're independently owned, and they were their best when they were independently owned. And then they got bought, and they were still fine. And then just the bigger the companies got that own them, the worse and worse and worse it got. And it's like, I don't
who
know.
Who also just rebought it was Smosh, right? Didn't Smosh get like
They rebought themselves.
Smosh.
The original Pokemon voice, like, syncing.
Huh?
Like, do you remember? You had to have seen it. Like, they just lip-synced the opening with passion. And that's what made them go viral. Or at least that's how I discovered them.
I don't know who Smosh is.
I'm trying to think of something else you'd know Smosh, the Smosh Brothers from.
They're a YouTube group, right?
Yeah.
I think I just know of them as, like, they were just a big part of YouTube. Like, one of the big ones.
Yeah.
But I literally don't know what their content was.
I think it's a lot of React stuff now, isn't it?
What does Yak mean?
React.
Oh, React. That's still a thing on YouTube?
Oh, God, Andy. It's so much stuff on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But
the drama pulls in the views, Andy.
Ooh, the drama.
People love drama.
They do.
I thought those are T channels. Well, I guess maybe reacting more to it. I don't know, but
They're reacting to other people reacting to the tea.
Oh my God.
It's an Ouroboros of just.
Yeah, he can't escape it, but I did a little bit of digging since this topic came up. I was surprised how bad Warner Brothers Discovery was doing since they released Barbie last year.
Yeah. But
Barbie made up half of their profits. It made up half the box office average for their top 10 films of the year.
Wow.
Like, I'm just going to list off their top 10.
Yeah.
Meg 2, The Trench, The Nun 2, The Flash, Evil Dead Rise, Shazam, Fury of the Gods, Blue Beetle, Magic Mike's Last Dance, House Party, and Mummies.
Those were the other ones.
It's but they got Dune 2 right now, so they're doing fine.
Yeah.
By the way, James, I'm into Dune now.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we had a long conversation on it yesterday.
I'm into Dune. I saw Dune 1 on Thursday. I saw Dune 2 on Friday. I'm obsessed. Dune is incredible. I'm into Dune now.
Andy, let me tell you something. Those movies barely touch what is the dense lore of Dune.
That's what I'm excited about, is I just loved the world. Well, I loved the idea of the plot, too, and, like, everything that was explored in the movie. God, I loved those movies.
So, Andy.
Oh, God.
Andy, I want to take this enthusiasm and put it in a constructive direction.
Yeah?
You should read The Wheel of Time.
No, I'm not. Eric, I'm into Dune.
It's heavily, and there's lots of elements that are heavily inspired by Dune.
Are you going to read the book now, Andy?
Yes, I bought it yesterday, and I read like 10 pages. I'm so into Dune.
Now, Andy, let me ask you this. Was Paul Atreides a hero?
I don't know. It felt okay, like, oh, good, well, good. I don't want to
The fact that you didn't say yes immediately means that you got the moral of the story.
Yeah. Please, everyone see Dune 2. I got to see it on IMAX. It was incredible. I loved it. I'm into Dune. But now I've been telling everyone I'm into Dune. I just shouted at people. And it turns out pretty much everyone's read Dune. Didn't know that.
I haven't read Dune. Much like many other properties, I have subsumed all the information involving Dune. I can tell you everything about Dune. I have never read a single page of Dune.
I love it. But even when I bought the book yesterday, I tried buying it from my local bookstore, by the way. I was trying to be a good boy, but then they're sold out. And then the guy told me that they're sold out everywhere. And then I was like, oh my God, I can't read Dune. I need to get into Dune. And then there was a ton of copies at Barnes & Noble. So yeah. He was just like, I don't know, man. You're going to have to either put it on reserve or look at all the used bookstores that are out everywhere. But then I found it at Barnes & Noble. But then when I was buying it at Barnes & Noble, the man shouted at me some nonsensical phrase, which I'm assuming was like Fremen or something. But
say Lisa now Gaib.
No, it didn't sound like that. I don't know. But then I told him, I'm sorry. I'm just not enough nerd yet. I'm not on your level, brother. oh God, and I brought it up at work and just all the things I was yelled at work. Anyways, everybody's into Dune. I'm now into Dune. I love Dune. Dune is great. Watch the movie. I love it. I love Dune.
Let me tell you something, Andy. It gets hard. The first three books are okay. And then
I'm only planning on reading the first three.
Yeah. Okay. So once he died, he obviously stopped being able to write good books.
Well, yeah, but that only affects 6 and 7 because he wrote the first 5.
I have to admit, I stopped at 3 also.
That's the vibe I got. There's like 30 of them, but
that's three. His son wrote like 21 or something.
Yeah,
like
it sounded like he really cashed in.
Yeah.
And
let's be fair. He wrote a book. That's not easy. That's not easy.
Fair. You know what, James? How very level-headed and fair of you. That was you are very, very correct. But when I was telling one person that I'm into Dune now, I'm a Dune head, he was just like, well, what order are you going to read the books? Then I got to hear the timeline of the million billion books there are. So really, I shouldn't be reading the first book. I should really be reading, like, I don't know, a couple prequels or whatever. And it's just like,
no, don't worry about those. Don't worry about those.
No. We're not doing this.
Read the first three, maybe fourth and fifth if you feel like it.
We have to just hope I actually read it. Like, I'm really hoping not to lose this momentum. I tried to get it from the library, but it's on hold for months.
Oh, I'm sure.
So I had to buy it from our corporate overlords, Barnes & Noble.
Andy, maybe I'll read Dune.
And then we can talk about it.
Well, I mean, I could talk to you about it now. But
that's true. You know everything. So please, all listeners, look forward to Dune Talk. Because I'm super into Dune, and I'll
also go back and watch the 1987 version of Dune,
the David Lynch one,
yeah, starring Sting and Patrick Stewart.
Yeah, it's wild. I've seen a few clips of it. I like David Lynch, and by that I mean I like Twin Peaks a lot. I don't have
Dune. Oh, then I think you'd like that because it's, man, it's got Twin Peaks in spades.
Oh, does it? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Maybe I will go to it. I mean, I'm such a Dune head. I need to. I'm so into Dune. I love Dune.
One last thing. Dune 2 was funnier than I expected it to be.
Funnier?
It was funny. Dune 2 was funny.
I don't remember it being funny at all.
Oh, God. All the stuff with Benicio del Toro. Not Benicio del Toro. What's his name? Stilgar.
I mean, I know I'm a Dune head. I don't remember who that is. I actually think I just had someone recently also tell me. I had a friend also tell me who that is, and I forgot who it was.
Who played it? Javier Bardem. Yeah, there it is. The one who would go, Lisa Nagaheap. Every time Paul did something.
He was funny. All right.
I laughed a lot. At
Listeners, go watch Dune. It's so good.
Yeah, you should. You should watch it.
I'm going to like the movies more than a book. More than the book.
I don't know. I mean, people say, I would say that Dune suffers a bit from what I would call the Citizen Kane problem, which is many books pull from Dune. So you will see things and be like, this isn't new. That's because Dune did it.
Sure.
Okay. In everyone else's defense, Dune took so many elements from existing sci-fi, like, if it wasn't,
I don't know if that's true, Derek, because I feel like Dune was maybe the first sci-fi, like one of the first sci-fi epics, like long-term running series. Like, I think Dune was one of the first, because everything else before that was short form stories or novellas.
I mean, I think it's the first one to take itself seriously. Like, and have hard, ties between each work. Well, like, there's a few Robert A. Heinlein series that are technically related, but they go over such vastly different.
Yeah, Dune came out in 1965, so.
Yeah, and Heinlein was writing in, like, the 20s.
Yeah. Well, yeah, obviously.
Like,
but I mean, like, I think, like, if you looked for, like, the prototypical, like, sci-fi, like, epic, I think Dune is the procreator of that.
That's what I hear about it. And I'm a big fan, so I will argue for that. I am a Dune head. And I will know all the now. I will know everything about it up through the third book. Please look forward to it. I have no interest in reading that many books. Derek trying to say read Wheel of Time. That's like 30 books. Get out of here.
It's like 30 books worth of pages.
Here's the thing. Dune is the first Dune is the biggest book. It's like 900. A book, yeah, right. It's like 900 pages. After that, they get much more reasonable. Dune Messiah is only 256. Dune the Children of Dune is 450-ish. So those are quicker reads.
Okay. We were talking about Wheel of Time yesterday. I've read the first three or four books and I remember nothing. I remember literally zero about Wheel of Time. I remember everything about Dune.
It's not like asking people to read fucking Sanderson's Radiance series.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a hot take from a actual science fiction writer.
Oh.
The Epic of Gilgamesh is the first.
Oh, fuck off with this. Yes, of course. It's yes. Yes. It's Gilgamesh. Yes. But I mean, in terms of pop culture.
What a hot take.
Hey, fuck you, Derek.
That hot take can be attributed to Pierre Vercins for saying it out loud first, and then
what a hot take that Gilgamesh was the first epic tale.
No, the first science fiction epic. He considers it a science fiction work due to its treatment of human reason and the quest for immortality.
Is that what makes science fiction?
I don't want to get into this argument.
I mean, Warhammer 40K is a fantasy series, so like, and people don't like hearing that.
Uh-oh.
Wasn't it? It's like science fantasy, right?
Yeah, and then same way that Star Wars is in fact a Western in space.
Yeah.
The original one. The original three. It's like, yeah, it just makes sense when you think about it. I'm not 100% saying Gilgamesh is a science fiction series, but an actual accredited science fiction writer said it. So there's some weight to it.
Weight to it. Well, it's all about Dune. What were we talking about before Dune? There was a lot of bummer bombs. What other bummers do we not have?
Oh, we got a couple more bummers.
No!
Yuzu, the popular Nintendo Switch emulator, has been shut down.
Ah, that's right.
I'm saying this a lot. If you're unfamiliar, Yuzu is the emulator that plays Nintendo Switch games. It's not the only one. There's also Ryuzu, and then there's also, is it Rejuninx, I think, is the other one.
Dolphin.
I know. Don't worry about Dolphin. It. Nintendo sued Yuzu, and they came to a settlement for $2.4 million and shutting down their website, which, first of all, to me is, how the fuck does an emulator team have $2.4
million? They don't. To answer your question, Patreon.
That's the thing. And that's what I found out is that they had a Patreon, which people subscribe.
Like, okay.
I am 100% in the camp that piracy and emulation, more often than not, good. In this case, Yuzu should have been sued harder. Like, they were profiting so much off of this.
I didn't know about the profit.
And
that changes things for me.
It's not even profiting off something that Nintendo's can't profit on. The Switch store is alive and well.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know this. They also ended development of Citra, or they ended their support of Citra, which is the 3DS emulator. But I think they're separate, but I don't know. I have to look more into that.
Well, the problem is that, like, yeah, we need these emulators, though. They shut down the 3DS store.
Yeah.
Like, things are lost to time. We need these.
Yeah, so the 3DS simulation, 100, like, I don't even care if they have a Patreon. Whoever's doing that, Godspeed.
Right. But for an active store with active games and just, like, to be profiting off of that,
Well, Andy, everybody who used Yuzu obviously dumped the ROMs from their own Switch copies.
Of course. Of course. Yeah. Of course. That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, if you saw people playing like Tears of the Kingdom at like 4K 60 FPS, they were probably playing it on Yuzu. Although I think Ryujinx was the one who did it better when Tears of the Kingdom came out.
I'm still of the mind. Do I support emulation of current games? I don't know. I've turned my mind though that I do support emulation of like discontinued or like deprecated stores and stuff. We need access to the games. Like, sorry, brother. Like, you can't do that. But the Switch is active, alive, and well.
I mean, and the real thing too is like, so they pulled down their GitHub page and all that stuff. But any forks of Yuzu, I don't know why I have to stop myself to say it every time, of Yuzu still exist, obviously still like Ryuzu, but what it means is like this development team is no longer existing in the way that it will today, but I think open source Switch emulation will continue. I think this has just been like, hey guys, if you create profit off of this, we're going to sue you into the ground. I think Nintendo said they attributed in the court documents 1 million pirated copies of Tears of the Kingdom.
Wow.
I mean, they set that up by having a no port business decisions. Like, you can't, if you don't have a Switch, you can't play it.
Correct.
And some people don't want to switch for one game, but that doesn't mean they're right to pirate it.
I mean, don't worry, Nintendo. I bought it twice, so I'll make up for it
for all those 1 million.
Yeah, I have a digital copy and I have my collector's edition.
But yeah, it's like Nintendo's not the bad guy because they kept it.
Well, they're not in this case, they're not the worst guy. I think they had a reasonable case to be like, Yuzu, you're kind of fucking up here. We're gonna shut you down.
Yeah, if there were no profits involved, I think Nintendo would be like unable to do anything because all Yuzu has to do is make it open source.
Well, I think them settling did a good thing because it prevented Nintendo from getting a court case with precedent for them to go after other developers. But that doesn't necessarily mean they still can't and won't do that. So,
and those other developers won't have the financial resources to defend themselves. Like,
they won't have a $2.4 million settlement.
How did these guys even afford to defend that? Well, the Patreon, I'm guessing. I don't know. It's kind of, what did they expect? But 2.4 million, like, I hope like they can get like community service or something. Like, I don't know.
I think it's only a payment for that of like resolving the case. So no jail time or anything, Andy.
Yeah. It's also civil, right? This is a civil case. This isn't a criminal case.
Sure. It's just tough. Like, these are normal people. But people need to be held responsible for the decisions, right? But it's only the people who can't afford it that are truly being punished, right? If this was just a different, like a corporation or something, this is just a little slap. A little, you naughty boy, a finger wag. But I don't know. I mean, what did they expect, though? They were collecting money. What did you expect? But yeah, so they're shut down. I wasn't using them, so my heart's not broken. I don't really care.
And one last thing that's getting shut down.
Love it.
To round out. Well, this is kind of sad and heartwarming at the same time. Mario Maker 1 servers will be going down April 8th. And players are desperately trying to finish every level on Mario Maker 1 before that happens. At one point, there were 400. There is now only one level left.
No way.
Yeah. Every Mario Maker level that's been uploaded has been beaten, except for one currently.
Oh,
and that is beaten by someone besides the creator. Before it can be published, the creator has to be able to beat it.
Oh, okay.
A lot of times, though, the creator puts in cheat paths for themselves.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, I didn't know that.
But I'm assuming that they've tried to utilize a few of those for some of the more unbeatable ones.
Yeah.
Do you think Nintendo will keep it up until someone beats it?
No.
Absolutely not.
What? Oh, come on.
No, they're going to hit a switch and just kill it. You're not going to have a situation where like someone's in the Halo 2 game for a week after they shut down the servers.
Was I there when the 14 servers shut down? I'm forgetting. That's the only thing I can think of when I was around for it.
But I have to say, this is a sad episode because Rooster Teeth was like the content creators of my childhood. Mm-hmm. And Mario Maker 1 made up a bulk of content for VTubers when I first got into VTubing.
Mario Maker 2 still exists. I mean,
I know.
Yeah.
And these weren't ported into 2?
No.
Huh. But are the VTubers trying to go after this last level, Derek?
Probably not. They go
after these are probably hardcore Kaizo players.
Well, God bless.
There's actually an official website called it is called ISSMM Beaten Yet. So is Mario Maker Beaten Yet.com.
Oh.
And it currently is 99.99% clear. And the one level is still there.
I think Nintendo's going to wait.
They have 19 days and 20 hours to beat it.
Nintendo's going
to
wait.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Come on, there's got to be some good there. They're the people's people. They're going to release Mother 3 here, I swear.
Andy, you have to keep in mind that their like top leadership is deeply rooted in Japanese culture and work ethic and everything that entails, which means doing something nice that costs money to make like a few people happy is not on their list of things to do.
Listen, didn't you hear the Game Boy grandma story or whatever? Where some grandma was like playing her Game Boy up until like 2 years ago and it broke and she sent it in for repair. And Nintendo found an original Game Boy to give her. All right.
Oh,
yeah.
That is nice.
It was very sweet because Nintendo is going to keep these servers up until but someone.
Do you see the difference there? That cost them no money.
No.
Because they. They probably have a warehouse somewhere that has all their old hardware that they couldn't sell, and they're just like, "Eh, maybe some grandma will get some Lucy Force one day."
How much does it cost to run a server for Mario Maker? Come on,
Nintendo's more than it does to not.
I mean, okay, Derek, fair, but they're sitting on so many billions of dollars.
And they didn't make the $1 billion by giving people stuff for free.
How dare you, Derek? How dare
they got
you?
That $1 billion by potentially sex trafficking, trading cards, and sex.
What?
Oh, we're not doing this.
What?
Oh, no, only in the early years, okay?
Okay.
Don't worry, we're not getting into this.
Miyamoto!
We're not getting into this now or on another episode of A Two Party, a friendship simulator masquerading as a news show. I've been your host, James, RIP, my childhood, Hartwell, and I've been joined by
Andy, Dunehead, Dune Boy, Dune Forever, Dune Fan, only first three books. Okay. And I've been joined by
Derek, a Wheel of Time advocate, Kasia.
Derek. I mean, fair. That's fair. Maybe one day. Is it only three books, Derek?
I'll splice together the audiobooks into three for you.
Well, there you go. Maybe there's hope for me yet. But, well, good night, everyone.
I'm watching the guy on Twitch trying to beat the level right now.
And listen, ooh, Nintendo's waiting there just as long. Rooting for him. We'll keep him up.
He's not getting very far. Have a good night, everyone.
Have a good night.
Have a good
night.
Bye.